Paula Poundstone joins us by phone tonight. We know her well from her appearances on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and you may have been fortunate to see her stand-up comedy routine in person. She will begin a podcast this summer, as well as hosting the Audi Awards, which are the Oscars for audiobooks. We're going to talk with her tonight about her latest book, which is also an audiobook that she narrates. It is titled The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. Paula Poundstone, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Well, thanks.
And I must say, to have the opportunity to thank you for the delightful times you bring us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I hope you have as much fun as we do.
Oh, it's so much fun to do that show. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. I always say if the others didn't cheat, it would be the perfect job.
Well, given your busy life, not only with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, for which you must have to listen to the news at least a little bit, you also continue to tour doing stand-up. You're going to host the Audi Awards Gala this summer, and you have an upcoming podcast, and you are a mom and have what sounds like a resident zoo. So I'm wondering how you came to choose to tackle this huge question of, as your book and audio book are titled, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness.
Well, I thought it would be a fun thing to write about, for one thing. My book's number one job is to be funny, and I think it pulls that off. So I figured what I would do was experiments, doing things that I or other people thought would make me happy. Everybody would like to know the answer to that, I think, for themselves anyways. And I figured that, you know, just the experiment itself would be sort of a romp. And it was. And I ended up writing each chapter as an experiment. You know, you begin with the conditions and the hypothesis and the variables and hopefully the funniest field notes ever written. But the real question for me wasn't whether I would enjoy doing something in the moment, but the question was, what things could I do that would leave me with, you know, a residual, an after effect, a lasting umbrella, if you were, for the inevitable rains of one's daily life. So the analysis section of each chapter is the story of raising a house full of kids and animals and being a stand-up comic for a living and just being stuck being me 24 hours a day. And so it took 7 years to write. My son is in elementary school when I begin writing the book, and by the end, he's almost graduated from high school. It's kind of interesting, even looking back on the book, a couple of the things that were sort of threads, not intentionally, they just sort of ended up there by careful field notes. For example, one of the chapters in the book is the Get Wired experiment. I didn't know how to use a computer. I came to it later than some. But what's interesting about that is that I actually was able to document, you know, what my life was like before and what my life was like after learning to use a computer. And most people are a bit of a frog in a pot on the topic. Most people don't realize how we used to feel. For example, the frustration that I would go through with, you know, push the wrong button or try to put something up on silly, stupid Facebook or all the horrible online sign up for this online password, this, all that stuff was just fraught with frustration. And definitely the tone of that chapter is different than any other one in that way. And in the beginning of the book, as I tell the story of my family, one of the mistakes that I made, and I've made many, but one of the mistakes that I made was I put my son, he's my youngest, I put him in front of a computer when he was three because I didn't know any better. Because we had a computer in the house, we had the big kind, but I just didn't know how to use it. But the kids learned how to use it, and my assistant used it. And it's terrible for the developing brain. And it caused my son, he has a short lifetime so far, he's only 19 now, but it's caused him a lifetime of electronics addiction, which is a real thing.
Well, I did want to ask you if you would name some of the experiments that you chose to do. So there was the Get Organized and the Part 1 and Part 2.
Part 1 and Part 2, because it was impossible to do. It was so damn hard. Then, let's see, there was one, the Get Real experiment. We watched movies all day. We were convinced that was going to be the one. There's the Get Earthy experiment, where I go backpacking with my oldest daughter. The Get Warm and Fuzzy experiment. I hug everyone that I meet for a day. Let's see. The Get Over Here and Help experiment, which was volunteering. I did a couple of things. I donated platelets a number of times, and I volunteered at a nursing home. I started doing that for the purposes of writing the book. I started a couple of years ago, and I'm still there. I go in a couple mornings a week, and I work in the activities room, although I always say to people, don't let that word activity fool you.
Well, I must confess that Get Warm and Fuzzy was my favorite. Did you have a favorite, or a least favorite for that matter?
You know, I think my favorite is the Get Real experiment, which is the one where I watch movies with my kids all day, only because I think within that chapter, the dynamic between us is illustrated the best. And also, I mean, when one thinks about lasting happiness, the sound of my children's laughter, just remembering it gives me a little happy chemical in my brain. And by the way, it was fractious. It was not pleasant the entire time by any stretch. We argued and argued and argued about what we were going to watch. And there was great friction throughout most of, you know, probably most of the entire experience. Finally, towards the end, I mean, we started watching at like 10 o'clock in the morning. And my kids are raised, they weren't allowed to watch television. And we only watched, we would watch like a DVD or a video, but on a non-school night. So the idea of watching all day long was this very exotic idea to us. And we watched until like my lower extremities didn't work from sitting in a chair for so long. And finally, we ended on, we watched like a bunch of movies and we watched some television shows on DVD. And the last ones were two I Love Lucy's. And it must have been about 2 a.m. when I finally went to bed. And the kids were still awake. And they said, can we watch one more? And I went into my room and they were watching the episode called The Saxophone, I believe it was. And I fell asleep listening to them laughing with the promise that they would go to bed right after that one. And that was a few years ago. I got to tell you, I still haven't caught up on my sleep.
I do want to let listeners know that one of the wonderful things on your audiobook is your routine of doing Edna during dinner time. So,
thank you.
It was great. And I love the creating and recording radio shows when they were young and then listening to them when they're older. So please, please keep bringing us your happy and your wonderful times with your kids and your sense of humor. Appreciate talking to you tonight, Paula.
Thank you very much. It was nice talking with you.
I've been talking with Paula Poundstone about her latest book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
I love long car rides, although I don't know why. I have restless leg syndrome and an annoyingly small bladder. I easily get highway hypnosis, and I almost always get lost. I like having our family together in one place, though, even if it takes door locks, seating restraints, and no safe exits to achieve it. We talk, we sing, and we argue. We've also listened to lots of great audiobooks over the years, and that's a wonderful way to take in literature. I've always loved reading aloud to my kids as well, but when I'm driving, I think an audiobook is safer.